This episode of the Innerhoe Uprising is sponsored by you. That is right. You, all of your Patreon donations, PayPal donations, five-star reviews on Apple, Stitcher, and wherever else you can leave those kinds of things. Shoutouts on social media, articles, mentions to your friends, IHU merchandise purchases all make the show possible week in and week out. And for that, we thank you very, very much, homies. This episode of the Innerhoe Uprising is also available for your viewing pleasures on YouTube. If looking at people while they podcast is your thing, then you can click the YouTube link in our show notes to gaze along as we talk our shit and watch along as we dance to the intro that's about to drop. Innerhoe Uprising. Are you dancing? I don't see you dancing.
I did. I was like, I'm really glad I have to. You set it up. I'm like, yes.
All right. Well, welcome to the Innerhoe Uprising, the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black, non-monogamous, pansexual feminist hoe who lives in New York City, whose pronouns are she and her, and who is double-cheeked up and double-masked up. Yes. On a Tuesday afternoon, a Thursday afternoon, a Sunday afternoon, all the days.
Yes.
I got ass and mask.
Ooh. Ooh. Yes. How does it just flow like that, you know?
Ass and mask.
And also from the perspective of me, Rodecca, a fat, black, non-monogamous, existentialist femme whose life is a series of coincidences that somehow landed her here in this podcast. And my pronouns are she and her.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Bam. Every episode of the Innerhoe Uprising works like this. Myself and my lovely rotating co-hosts talk about sex, love, and dating as it pertains to current events in the world, our lives, and yours. And occasionally we hit you with interviews with insightful folks or do deep dives on a topic of our choice. On this episode, we're talking all about bipolar disorder. Everything from living with it, how it can show up in your sex, love, and dating life. We're debunking stereotypes. And we're going to talk a little bit about how one of us on this here podcast came to be diagnosed with it, as well as much, much more.
And if you would like to follow along with the conversation had in this podcast on social media, you can do so by using the hashtag Innerhoe Uprising so we can see it and the hashtag Pod In so other people can see it. And if you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at Innerhoe Uprising without the G on Twitter, Innerhoe Uprising on Instagram and Facebook. And you can join our Facebook group by searching Innerhoe Uprising, C-U-M-M-U-N-I-T-Y, and head over to InnerhoeUprising.com to pay a hoe.
So we're going to get into our first segment of the day, and we're gonna let you surmise what it is via listening to the drop.
Grandma! Yeah. Are you a hoe?
That is the question that I hope all of my grandchildren and great-grandchildren ask
you
one day.
Yes. So you can just say yes. Yes, I am.
Grab a seat, pull up, and watch this here hologram.
I've got some tales grandma, for you.
Yeah. She used to bust it open for the real nigga that was herself.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes.
So Hoe of the Week is where we shout out homies who have supported Innerhoe Uprising in the past week. And this week, Rebecca's going to talk a little bit more, but she is thanking the plethora of folks who showed her some support after revealing something very personal and important on Instagram. So we're going to cut to a story time with Rebecca moment, right?
Yeah. Let's get into it.
I have specific audio for that.
Really? Okay.
So that's my spilling the tea sound.
Yes, I saw it. I was like, let's go. Oh, that's cute. Okay.
It is a reused sound effect from In Those Jeans podcast because nothing I do is original.
Original?
Unfortunately.
Well,
but
I'm curious
to hear what's going on here. What's going on?
So as you mentioned earlier, there was someone who was recently diagnosed with bipolar disorder. And that is me, guys. That's me. Not everyone follows me on Instagram, but I have a history of just like losing really important people to me and not really owning up to my part in not being as consistent as I could be or not being the friend that I know that I want to be or I'm capable of. So I was like, you know what? Let me throw a little bit of a sub at myself where it was just like, hey, guys, this is what's going on with me. And I do know that I have been suffering with this for a while now. And I had actually talked about the fact that I was bipolar. I have anxiety. I have depression. I have PTSD. I have paranoia. There's a lot of things that, you know, affect me on the day to day that I do not talk to people about. I often, and I get this all the time where it's just like, and my friends, especially Sam and you know, everybody on the podcast who's just like, just talk to us. And I will not, because I don't know. I don't want to be a burden. There's so many things, you know? But because I am suffering through a lot of things, I can be closed off. I can be elusive. And in ways that if I had just explained what was going on with me, I'm sure that a lot of things wouldn't have turned out the way they did. Like my friendships and some relationships where people just kind of couldn't figure me out because I had these feelings or I was going through certain things. And I just wasn't open about it. But I wanted to go on Instagram because this is a time in my life where I'm finding out that I am this person and this is a part of who I am now. And I do have to take treatment for it. And I have to do this and just owning it. But also hoping that the people who I lost touch with and I wasn't brave enough to have these conversations with would kind of look at it and be like, oh, man, you know, which is still me not necessarily going and driving straight through and saying, hey, this is me. But this was my first step in saying and owning up to my part in being inconsistent and not being the best friend that I could be. And so many people, like at least 30 people who shared their stories with me and people who had a similar diagnosis or people who just kind of said, I'm sending you positive vibes and thank you for, and a lot of people were just saying, thank you for being brave enough to say something like this. It's so funny when people say that I'm brave because like in that moment, the last thing that I felt was brave. It was just me trying to be honest and me trying to move into a space where I am owning up to who I am. The reason, and to just like kind of double back as to why or how I found out about this diagnosis and really just wanted to get better. I've always described myself as two different people. The person who is in a depressive episode where I always thought that was the real me, where it was just like, you guys don't even know that I'm just like this really sad, really empty, blah, blah, blah moment person. And I was just like this other person when I woke up one day and I just felt good and I was productive. And I was like, that's the person that you guys like, but you guys wouldn't like this other person. I am just not the life of the party, but I like to just get into everything and we're having fun and this, that, and the fourth. And my family has only ever really seen me on an up, in a manic state, basically. It's basically the best way to describe it. I think it was Halloween. So it was just like a day that I couldn't change. I couldn't go like, okay, let me hang out this next week and I feel better. I couldn't run from the fact that I just wasn't on an up. I was on a very down, feeling like shit moment. But I still went out and my sister was just kind of like, I don't know how to relate to you or how to talk to you when you're this person. And hearing that it was this person kind of resonated with the fact that I felt like I was hiding my other person this whole time. And then the one time that I like that other person that I was present, it felt like I was almost being shunned, but also like I didn't have any control over something that I swore that I was handling so fucking well. So the fact that she used that terminology just made me realize that I wasn't as expertly navigating my ups and downs as I thought I was. And it made me think, you know, I'm going through a lot and it's hard to be two people when I'd really just rather be honest about who I am both times because they are both part of me. So I said, you know, I should get help. And I've said it a couple of times, but it was really something where, you know, I had the resources, I had a new job and it was just, and I had no excuses anymore because when I'm on an upward thing, I don't even remember or really know what it feels like to be down. So I often feel like I have to write notes to myself. So I finally wrote a note to myself and I said, you know what? I know you're feeling good right now because I was talking to the manic me and was like, I know you're feeling good right now, but get help because this other version of you is drowning and they need help. So I read that and I remember being so happy and being like, and I read it and I was just like, okay, this is literally a cry from help for myself. Like, let me do this. So I went to therapy. I would just let it all out because I was like, you know what? I'm never honest. I'm never honest about the things that I go through. I'm never honest about any of that type of stuff. This is a stranger. Let me be as honest as possible. And it was just kind of like, hearing him say like, yeah, like, you know, he was trying to be nice, but he was just very much like, yeah, like what you're describing, the way that you're saying it is like textbook. So I was like, okay, cool. And then that was just, I got the diagnosis of being bipolar disorder two. And yeah, that was just kind of like the start and where and why I ended up finding out, talking about it, and just really like exposing myself, because I felt so alone and I've been isolating myself. And I thought if I could have anybody read what I'm going through or read and see, like, this is a person that they see and they listen to on this podcast. And if anybody can listen, even if it's just one person, and, you know, I had my own motivators, but if I could be that motivator for someone else to find out exactly what's going on and get help, and the fact that I'm feeling better in a lot of ways, I want that for other people as well. So yeah, that's kind of the story of why we are talking about bipolar disorder, what's going on with me. And yeah, I hope you guys listen. And if it does resonate with you guys, then, you know, I hope you guys use the resources to get what you need.
Yeah. We hope you all stick along for the back half of this episode. And Rodeca, thank you so much for being transparent with us. And I said this to you a couple of days ago when you were telling me all of this happened, but I want to say again, I am really, really proud of you.
Thank you. It's really hard to stomach. And I think I was telling you that before, where it's just like, I can't process it.
I don't believe you, bitch.
I don't believe you, but
I hear what you're saying.
But I know you as a person. And if you say it, then there's got to be some truth to it. And that's just the way that I process things. It's not necessarily something that I can say, yeah, okay, thanks. It's more like, all right, you're saying it, so I believe you. I try. But thank you. I do appreciate that, for real. But yeah, I guess we should get into the topic, right?
Yeah. All right, so we're going to get into our topic of the day now. And I really love this song. I shine bright in all my different colors. Very relevant to our show in general, but what you're about to talk about as well. And we do shine bright in all our different colors. Shout out to Call Hours by Amari Simone. All right, so this is our topic. I mean, this is our segment called Fuck It. It's our topic of the day. And today we're talking about the science of bipolar disorder. So take us through. Take it away.
All right. Well, you guys heard me talk about it, and a lot of people don't know the nuances of this disorder. So I'm more than happy to talk about it. In my research, I got to know more about myself. So, you know, here we go. So bipolar disorder is also known as manic depression or bipolar disease. It is a mental illness marked by extreme shifts in mood. Symptoms can include an extremely elevated mood called mania. It also causes unusual shifts in moods, energy, activity levels, concentration, and the ability to carry out day-to-day tasks. It isn't a rare disorder. In fact, 2.8% of U.S. adults, or about 5 million people, have been diagnosed with it. So according to the National Institute of Mental Health, there are three types of bipolar disorder. All three types involve clear changes in mood, energy, and activity levels. These moods range from periods of extremely up or elated, irritable, or energized behavior. So you're just kind of like really up there, really talking fast, doing all that type of stuff. And those are known as manic episodes, to very down, sad, indifferent, or hopeless periods known as depressive episodes. There are also less severe manic periods known as hypomanic episodes. So bipolar 1 disorder, defined by manic episodes that last at least 7 days, or by manic symptoms that are so severe that the person needs immediate hospital care. Usually depressive episodes occur as well, typically lasting at least 2 weeks. Episodes of depression with mixed features, which is having depressive symptoms with manic symptoms at the same time, are also possible. There's also bipolar 2 disorder. It's defined by a pattern of depressive episodes and hypomanic episodes, but not full-blown manic episodes that are typical of bipolar 1 disorder. Mm-hmm. That is what I have. So sometimes manic episodes come with hallucinations. You hear things, you see things that aren't there. That's kind of like the big defining thing, and also how severe the manic episodes go. Mm-hmm. We can get into how severe and how that can be detrimental to people later, but I usually have hypomanic episodes. So, I just feel super productive and all that type of stuff, and just like on top of the world, really. But it's there's not really a catalyst for it. But yeah, we'll talk about that.
And just to clarify, the hallucinations typically come with bipolar 1 disorder.
Yes, with bipolar 1 disorder. Yes. Gotcha. So there's also cyclothymic disorder, also known as cyclothemia, defined by periods of hypomanic symptoms as well as periods of depressive symptoms lasting for at least 2 years. So it's a very long time. It's not as fast or as... as fast as the other two. So it's just for extended period of times, and then all of a sudden it's down for 2 years, and it seems that's hard to diagnose. However, the symptoms do not meet the diagnostic requirements for hypomanic episodes and a depressive episode. Sometimes people might experience symptoms of bipolar disorder that do not match the three categories listed above, which is referred to as other specified and unspecified bipolar and related disorders, or borderline. So it's just, you can have the traits, but you don't necessarily have full blown disorder. So they're still researching the possible causes of bipolar disorder. Most people agree that there's no single cause, and it's likely that many factors contribute to it, like brain structure and functioning or genetics. Many genes are involved, and no one gene can cause disorder. So you don't just have like a bipolar gene. And there are also environmental risk factors that include a history of childhood abuse or long-term stress that can attribute to it. Bipolar disorder is typically diagnosed during late adolescence or teen years or early childhood. Occasionally, bipolar symptoms can appear in children. Bipolar disorder can also first appear during a woman's pregnancy or following childbirth, which kind of goes back to the stress. And the average age when people with bipolar begin to show symptoms is 20 years old. For me personally, I didn't really think that that was happening to me when I was a child at all. This is definitely something that I remember first manifesting when I was in college, because I was very stressed out, more stressed out than I'd ever been in my entire life. And I just remember, actually dropped out, because I remember being just to the point where even though everyone was laughing and everyone was having all this good time, I would just start breakdown and crying and feel this emptiness that I couldn't describe. And it had just started shifting for me. And since then, I realized that there was just something different about the way that I was processing things. So there's mood periods. That's what they're called. That's the up and the down, depressive and manic. People with bipolar disorder experience periods of unusually intense emotion, changes in sleep patterns and activity levels, and uncharacteristic behaviors, often without recognizing their likely harmful or undesirable effects. These distinct periods are called mood episodes. So mood episodes are very different from the moods and behaviors that are typical for a person. During an episode, the symptoms last every day for most of the day. Episodes may last for longer periods, such as several days or weeks. So what a manic episode looks like, because they're very different. You can feel very up, high, elated, irritable, like I said before, or touchy, jumpy, wired, have a decreased need for sleep, have a loss of appetite, talk very fast about a lot of different things. They think they could do a lot of things at once, feels like their thoughts are racing, do risky things that show poor judgment, such as eat and drink excessively, spend or give away a lot of money, or have unprotected or reckless sex. That's what they said a whole bunch of times. I'd be out here anyway. I didn't mean to say that, but yeah.
I think unprotected sex is a good way to encapsulate what this source was trying to say.
Just things that you wouldn't normally thing to do if you weren't on this high. And it feels like they are unusually important, talented, or powerful. So there's also depressive episodes, and what they may look like is you feel very down, sad, empty, worried, or hopeless. You feel slowed down or restless. You have trouble falling asleep, wake up too early, or sleep too much. Experience increased appetite and weight gain. Talk very slowly. Feel like they have nothing to say. Forget a lot. Have trouble concentrating or making decisions, feel unable to do even simple things, have low interest in almost all activities, a decreased or absent sex drive, or the inability to experience pleasure, which, yes, is very true and very much something that is characteristic of these mood episodes. Sometimes people experience both manic and depressive symptoms in the same episode. These kind of episodes is called an episode with mixed features. People experience an episode with mixed features may feel very sad, empty, or hopeless, while at the same time feeling extremely energized. A person may have bipolar disorder even if their symptoms are less extreme. So for example, some people with bipolar disorder 2 experience hypomania, which is a less severe form of mania. And during the hypomanic episode, people may feel very good, be able to get things done, and keep up with day-to-day life. The person may not feel that anything is wrong, but family and friends may recognize the changes in mood or activity levels as possible bipolar disorder. Without proper treatment, people with hypomania can develop severe mania or depression. Just like a pause and an aside right there. I talk about this a little bit later, where it's just like what makes this different from a regular mood switch, because I think that's something that's constantly a question where it's just like, well, there are days that I feel like sad and there are days that I feel happy and really productive. And then the point is everyone goes through these waves of ups and downs. But what makes it different is there's no catalyst. There's not, you wake up one day and you're like, I'm going to get this done. So you feel empowered by that, which is usually what happens with a productive thing. You're just in the mood for it. This is like something bad could happen to you and you have every reason to be sitting down and just like chilling. And you're like, you know what? I'm just feeling extremely erratic and extremely ready to do things. And it's not, there's no outside factors that really contribute to the way that you changed. And sometimes you don't recognize the person that you are, but you're just going along with it. And it's so starkly different than what you're used to that you're just recognizing it as an episode and something that you know that you don't really have any control over. And then there's always this, often this common misconception about manic episodes as something positive. And I remember I used to, or even when I was talking about it, he had asked me, do you find yourself unusually productive? And I almost didn't want to let go of that because it felt like that was the good part of me. And to own it and to say that this is just because of being manic made me feel like I was going to lose the moments where I was on top of the world and I felt good. But you have to recognize and understand that while you may be productive, there are times that you do things that you would never do. And like, I've definitely had moments where I've agreed to go across, like I've agreed to go to Connecticut with somebody randomly because I was just feeling high and I didn't know the person. And I just like went there because I'm just like, well, this is the experience and I'm going to have fun. And I wasn't even going to tell anybody that I was going because I was just like feeling so ecstatic and so ready to go. Where if I had stopped to think about it and I wasn't in this high period, then I probably would have stopped and said, well, this is dangerous. I don't want to do this. You know what I mean? And it was just like me just going along with it. Or another example is just like I commit to a lot of things, even though I know I don't want to do things. And I might double book or triple book or quadruple book. And then I wake up the next day and that period is over. And I tell all the people or just avoid all of those people and say nothing. And that's where, you know, it's easy to think that, well, you're productive, you're more social, but you don't know if you're going to wake up and that episode is over. You don't know if you're going to have the energy to do that, or you don't know if you would have even wanted to hang out with those people if you weren't feeling the way that you did. So I think it's just like important to realize that it's not always positive. And just because it does have these, maybe you got something done that you wouldn't have before. There are so many ways that it could go wrong. And knowing that it's not necessarily you that's in control is what makes it something that needs to be addressed. So yeah, there's also other symptoms that are associated with bipolar disorder. There's psychosis. So sometimes a person with severe episodes of mania or depression may experience psychotic symptoms such as hallucinations or delusions. The psychotic symptoms tend to match the person's extreme mood. So for example, people with psychotic symptoms during a manic episode may have an unrealistic belief that they are famous, have a lot of money, or have special powers. So it obviously that's another thing where if it gets too extreme, then you are no longer in touch with reality. People have psychotic symptoms during a depressive episode and they may falsely believe that they are financially ruined or penniless, have committed a crime, or have unrecognized serious illness. I have had that happen to me before. I don't have bipolar 1, but I have definitely had moments where I was very, very convinced that I was sick, and like I would go to the doctor and there was nothing wrong with me, but I would sit in the hospital room and I was just like, I can't feel it. And I like, I'm convinced that there's something going on inside me. And the only way that I'll know is if I go to the doctor. And I've done that several times, even though there's literally nothing going on, or rather because of my anxiety. And as you know, I'll talk about it a little bit. Anxiety is very commonly associated with bipolar disorder. I just needed to get done, and I wasn't able to sleep or relax until I was able to find somebody who helped me out. And then the doctor, actually, that was the first time that I found out that anxiety can manifest in a physical way, because like I was like, hook me up to the EKG, figure it out, because my heart is beating at a point that I don't even understand. And they were like, do you have anxiety? And like, I was like, I don't know. I don't think so. And like, they had to show me my heart in order for me to calm down enough to think that like I was okay. So yeah, it definitely gets to that point. And as a result, people with bipolar disorder can also have psychotic symptoms that are sometimes incorrectly diagnosed with schizophrenia. When people have symptoms of bipolar disorder and also experience periods of psychosis that are separate from mood episodes, the appropriate diagnosis may be schizoaffective disorder. So yes, it could be, there's so many things that it can look like, that a lot of the time that's the baseline and they'll add other things on top. So because bipolar disorder symptoms are similar to that of other illnesses, it can make it challenging for a healthcare provider to make a diagnosis. It is also common for people with bipolar disorder to have anxiety, ADHD, to misuse drugs or alcohol, engage in high-risk behaviors at times of an impaired judgment during manic episodes, and have eating disorders. This is me being as transparent as possible. I do have moments where I feel like I use alcohol and drugs to escape. And that's something that I'm working on to figure out, like if I'm misusing these things or if I'm just having fun. And it's hard to tell sometimes, because sometimes you just want to have fun to escape. I also have an eating disorder, and I don't think I have ADHD. I've never had someone say that, but definitely everything else, anxiety and PTSD as well. And then people with bipolar disorders also have an increased chance of having thyroid disease, which I also have, migraine headaches, which I also get sometimes. It's just like, I might be the textbook definition and the poster child for bipolar disorder, but that's fine. So it's just, it comes with one thing, and then it just becomes a whole nother animal. Medications generally used to treat bipolar disorder include mood stabilizers and second generation atypical antipsychotics. The treatment plan basically includes medicines that can target sleep or anxiety. Healthcare providers often prescribe antidepressant medicines to treat the depressive episodes, and they combine it with the mood stabilizer to prevent the manic episodes. This is another thing where I thought that I would just be like super stable. What it does for me is like it balances it out, and it's not like I suddenly don't have bipolar disorder. It's more like, because this is something that you have for your whole life, it's more like I can be aware of the fact of when it's going to start, or really just like knowing that I may be feeling a little bit more erratic than usual, and just like kind of recognizing the shifts, as opposed to before, where sometimes I would just wake up a week later and like I would no longer just be this super energetic person. And I was like, oh, well, that's the other Rebecca coming back. And now I can recognize the fact that, no, like the episode is over, but I'm still going to be okay and everything's going to be good. Mm-hmm. So that's really what the medicines are for. They're supposed to help you recognize and really just like figure out if there's a catalyst or things that are outside factors that are making you this way, mm-hmm. and just kind of calming you down and leveling you out. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Cool.
So that's what bipolar disorder is. But we're going to get into what it isn't. And more after this.
What a great throw. Are you a news anchor?
Wow. Inside,
deep down inside. Cool. Well, is the conversation in this episode so far resonating with you? Is it helping you learn some new shit, helping you unlearn some old shit, or just allowing you to have a good time with people who you relate to? I'm hearing that it is. I'm hearing that it is out there, and we do love to hear that. We would also love for you to support the continuation of conversations like these. If you're listening to us on a podcast app, you can take a moment to take out your device where the podcast app is open and take a moment to subscribe or drop 5 stars and leave a rating for your homies, which is us, Inner Home Uprising. If you got a little extra change, you can drop some cash in our PayPal by going to paypal.me/innerho, or you can come join our Patreon community and access things like our chat and virtual events for as low as $2 a month by going to patreon.com/innerhouprising. Or you can just hit up your friend and say, yo, listen to this podcast. It is quite, quite good. We thank and love you all for your continued support. And now the continuation of the science of bipolar disorder.
Yes. So we're talking about what it isn't, because there's so many common misconceptions of what it is. And honestly, there's, I think we've all had moments where we look at these media portrayals of things and we say, we think we know what something is, but we don't always. So what bipolar is not is symptomatic of a personality disorder, an anxiety disorder, or simply moodiness. Although it has been used colloquially as a means of identifying someone's tendency to run hot and cold, bipolar disorder is not usually recognized by family and friends as moodiness or erratic behavior, but instead visible to family members and friends by an individual's tendency to have periods of extreme sadness or apathy, followed by periods of intense highs, which include periods of not requiring food or sleep, speaking quickly, and increased sense of focus or concentration. For me, as I've gotten older, I was able to move out and get my own room. So once I got my own room, it actually kind of intensified because I was able to fester. That's the best way that I could describe it. And I know that people started noticing the difference because I would spend long periods of time in my room and not leave. And just kind of create this depression den and you know, bring food in there and the things would pile up. And then my sister would notice that there was something different when I would come out and I would just be like, hey, and we would hang out and we would spend the whole day in the living room and I'd be able to like hold these conversations and I'd clean my room. So it was really just like you could see what was going on in my head because of the reflection of my room. I'd have piles of stuff that were like feet ankle deep. And then when I was feeling high, it was all gone and I was able to just like finish it. And I guess that was the best representation of what was going on in my brain. But for me, my ups and downs, I don't even want to talk to people. So it's like not even just like the way that I feel. Once I had control and I was able to like not have to force myself to talk to people, because I was a child and if I didn't talk to people, that would be disrespectful. Once I was older and I was feeling these things, I would just like not pick up my phone, not talk to the people in the house with me, be very moody, be very rude in a lot of ways. And I just thought it was just like, well, this is the real me. And if they can't deal with it, they can't deal with it. As opposed to like, so then who's this other person who's just super social? And I just thought, you know, I was an introvert and extrovert. I just thought, you know, everyone goes through it, but it just felt so extreme and so different from each other that I knew that I had a feeling that it was something else. I was mentioning before about how manic episodes are often regarded as the positive sides of bipolar disorder, but that is a misconception. It involves frenetic energy and it's not simply productive energy and should not be regarded as a positive aspect of the condition. You can feel on top of the world, but there's something staticky about it. There's something that feels frantic, that it's almost like you have to do something. I would get up and down half a bottle and like run out because I couldn't be in the house. I couldn't, like, I felt like I was trapped and I was like, I need to go out. I need to do this. And I would run out and just do things by myself that, again, you know, it's fun. And I could look back and say, like, I had a good time, but I can also look back and say, that could have been potentially dangerous. That could have been something that if I wasn't careful or if I had been gone to the wrong place, me being a femme out in the street half drunk because I can't, you know, control whether or not I'm in the house and just like calm down, that's something that could have potentially gone completely wrong. Manic episodes have just as much propensity to cause damage or harm to people with bipolar disorder as depressive episodes too. Manic periods are not periods of time in which an individual experiences sudden, healthy bursts of productivity or fortunate episodes of inspiration, which is what most people think it is, because we all experience that. Instead, manic episodes are periods in which the body's natural mechanisms that promote health senses of boundaries, healthy impulses towards sleeping and eating, and healthy coping mechanisms are interrupted. In bipolar disorder 1, manic episodes actually require hospitalization as they may lead to psychosis or other serious complications. They don't always, but they can. They have the potential to do so. Mm-hmm. There's also often a stigma around bipolar disorder where people say things like, everyone's a little bipolar, or you're and I'm so bipolar today. I think we've all heard someone say that, and it's just always like
bad.
Yeah, stop, it's always bad
for whatever mental disorder it might be. Just stop doing
exactly.
That
exactly.
It's fucking annoying. It's and harmful.
I've heard people say I'm schizo. Like, yeah, people say a lot of things, and you don't realize how harmful that is because it's so flippant and so not accusatory. That's not the right word. So it kind of just throws away the seriousness of what it is, because they associate it with regular shifts in mood that all people experience. So the best way to tell you and to understand is it's not you're in one conversation and, oh, well, I don't like you anymore, so now you're hot and you're cold. They often associate bipolar with these quick shifts, but in actuality, rapid cycling, or like what they actually considered rapid, would be 4 distinct mood episodes in 12 months. So it's not in a month, you're 1 week this, 1 week that. Rapid is just considered you are literally up for like 3 months, then down for like 2 months. And then, you know, that type of stuff is what they consider rapid. Depression caused by bipolar disorder lasts at least 2 weeks, and a high manic episode can last for several days or weeks. Some people will experience episodes of changes in mood several times a year, while others may experience them only rarely. A key difference between bipolar disorder and regular mood swings, people without bipolar disorder, as well as people who have their bipolar stabilized, experience mood that relate to what is going on in their lives. People with active or untreated bipolar experience them as a result of the disorder, regardless of life events, and at a far more serious level than normal moods. This is a misconception. I was like, manic episodes are fun. A common misconception is that manic episodes are fun, when oftentimes they lead to regret and the affected person looking back and realizing they would have not done certain things had their mood been stable. I've definitely had to apologize for things that I've done. I've definitely had to apologize for and not recognizing the fact that I was doing that. And I've had people say like, why would you do something like this? And I couldn't even explain it because it just felt right. It always feels right in the moment because these are your actual moods and these are actually how you feel, until afterwards when you reflect and you go, no, like that was something that. And when you don't know, it's even scarier because you genuinely feel like, well, who was that? Like, where did that come from? And that's why I'd always described it as 2 different people. So it can also have effects on your sex, love, and dating, as you know, we love to talk about on this show. So manic effects on sex, hypersexuality. We've talked about this before. It's a common symptom. Hypersexuality is observed in about 57% of manic patients of hypomania and mania and bipolar disorder, and causes individuals to experience lowered inhibitions that play into the desire to engage in sexual acts with either themselves, like masturbation, or with others. It's just I've always contributed that to, or sometimes I've contributed that to, just being like more free and da 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 da. But then I realized that there's been times that I've had sex with someone and afterwards, but I had regrets about it. You also have a heightened sense of confidence. Another major symptoms of bipolar hypomania is a heightened sense of self. This increased confidence can create egotistical and boisterous behavior, which can be reinforced through the participation in sexual activities. And there's no fear of consequences. Most individuals who experience hypomania often find that during this period of time, they are not concerned with the consequences of their actions. This, coupled with their increased hypersexuality, can lead to sexual binges and dangerous sexual encounters that can harm them physically as well as harm their significant others emotionally. I don't know. I think it's hard because since I have gotten this diagnosis, I have spent a lot of time reflecting on the things that I've done as a person. And I often think, did I do this because I'm bipolar? Did I do this because it felt right in the moment? Did I do this because of XYZ? And I do have regrets in life. I've been the other woman a couple of times. And I've talked about that. I've hurt people. I've done a lot of things that in the moment I just felt like, well, you know, maybe I got it. Maybe I got the juice in and other women don't. Or maybe I got the juice in the person that they're with doesn't have it. You know what I mean? And I'm not that, it's so weird because I'm not that person anymore. But that person at the time felt very, she was confident. She was definitely that person who owned that decision. And I worry now that maybe that was because of being bipolar. I don't know.
Could be like a confluence of things, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure all of the, everything that you've ever done in your entire life is not, you can't set, not your entire life, but since like bipolar symptoms have manifested.
Yeah.
Like, it can never be removed, but I don't think it can all be attributed to. And that's,
yeah,
it's okay to exist in that gray space.
I do appreciate that you said that because it has been a constant, like, oh, well, it was because of this. And it's just like, it's still me. And it's hard to separate the two. And maybe, you know, maybe that was a part of it. But
I have also been the other woman. And I don't, to my knowledge, I don't have bipolar disorder.
Yeah. So you're just like, it is like
it do
that,
be
yeah.
happening though.
Yeah, it do be happening.
I've also gotten in the car with random people who I shouldn't. So like,
yeah. Yeah, it happened. And that's why it's like, I think making it real and realizing that it, while it could be contributing to it, it also is just me as a person. That does make it a little better. I do have bipolar disorder, but it doesn't have me. I think that's the best way to say it.
Yeah. And I think that's really important for just to like validate you and you saying like in the episodes of Mania where you are like you when you were scared to admit that to your psychotherapist? Yeah. Is that what he would be? Because like that's not to just because it may have happened in an instance of mania isn't to deter things that you did accomplish and things that were good things during those periods of time.
Yeah.
Still a badass bitch.
Thank you. Thank you, fam. I appreciate that. So there's also depressive effects on sex. So a hallmark symptom of depression is decreased sex drive. So it's just kind of the same thing in a depressive episodes. Some don't want to have sex at all. Others have sex periodically looking for it to relieve their psychic pain. I don't know why I said it physic, but psychic pain. In this context, sex becomes a form of self-medication, much like alcohol, drug use, or overeating. I have done that. I've had times that I am so anxious that I don't want to think about all the things that are on my mind. So I've said, let me just have some sex. Just because it's better than feeling all of that anxiety. Even with a reduced libido, behavior can be risky when persons look to sex to relieve their symptoms. Depressive episodes can also lead to a complete lack of interest in sex, feeling physically unattractive or undesirable, a disinterest in personal hygiene or grooming, feeling vulnerable or worthless sexually, which may keep them from engaging, and physical exhaustion, which makes sex difficult. Also medications. I'm on SSRIs, as Rob had mentioned before, that also has an effect on their libido. It does for me now as well. Masturbation is very difficult and it sucks because that's a joy that I definitely used to indulge in daily, and now I can't reach orgasm, which is something that we talked about before, but it was always easy for me. So it's difficult, but it's worth it because I do want to make sure that I am stable in a lot of ways. And if it means that I have to sacrifice something and work on a way to work on it differently, then I will. And antipsychotics also have a effect on your libido and your sex drive, and they make it hard for you to get aroused. So yeah, these are ways that it affects my sex life and dating. I can actually talk about, and I will talk about, how it personally has, and ways that like my relationships have been affected by the fact that, especially with my libido, because I think I was actually going through a very long low in my libido because I was so stressed out on the show, and I remember talking about it. And I had actually had my past partner just basically give up on me in a lot of ways because I was unable to have sex as easily as I did before. And that's that shit fucking sucked. Mm-hmm. And now I look back and I'm like, man, I was really going through it. And I just realized how much I wasn't supported in that moment. Mm. But yeah, that's for a little bit, another story time. But for now, if you listen to any of this and you said, well, that sounds exactly like me, or if you're like, well, I don't know, but I want to find out if this is something that I'm going through, then I would recommend that you try psychotherapy or talk therapy. Wait, is BetterHelp still one of our sponsors?
BetterHelp is still one of our sponsors.
Okay, yeah. So I would recommend, you know, talk therapy like BetterHelp. That's a good platform to go on.
Yeah.
And there's also online resources for more information and research. There's actually DBSA, which is Depression and Bipolar Support Alliance. So they're dedicated and a comprehensive resource for more than 21 million people in the U.S. who live with mood disorders. They provide education, tools, peer support, and a wealth of inspiring stories to help you pursue your own path to wellness. I read it through it, and you know, when you feel like you're alone in something, know that you're not, because we are having this conversation together now, and now you know that I am also going through it as well, so you aren't alone. But if you want to talk to even more people, that this is a great resource for that. And then there's also, for information in general and for any type of talk line or all type of stuff, you can go to the National Alliance on Mental Illness website, and they have a lot of pamphlets and researches. And if you have a child that maybe you're thinking has these traits, it does happen to children as well. They have specific pamphlets for that as well, so that you can be supported for them. If you think it's your partner, any of those things, it can affect you personally or in people that you love, definitely reach out and look online, because any support is so appreciated. I know that having my friends and having my family and telling them this and them going, you know what, in any way that I can support you, I will, has really tremendously changed my outlook and how I can go forward and really just thrive as a person. And also, you know, I talk about my Instagram at the end. You can always hit me up. I love talking to you guys. So if there's anything that I can help you with personally, then definitely reach out. And I, you know, yeah, just be patient with me, because I am not always there. So yeah. But yeah, that's bipolar disorder, guys. That's all the information that I have. Thank you guys for listening.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening, Sam.
That was a shitload of information.
Yeah.
I am sure folks got a lot out of that. I want to reiterate that some of the resources that you just mentioned will be in the show notes, in addition to your Instagram page. You had mentioned hypersexuality as a symptom of bipolar disorder. We have an episode on hypersexuality called Hypersexuality, Fact, Fiction, and Twitter Fodder, which will also be in the show notes for this episode. I know it sounds like the show is ending, but stay tuned, because we have another like 15 to 20 minutes to go. And yeah. Oh, yeah. I also wanted to reiterate, one, it is, because before I was like, stop saying that you fucking have this when you don't have this. If these things like truly do resonate with you, like, you're not who I was talking about when I said that. But then also I want to stress the importance of like not simply going to these resources and being like, I definitely have bipolar disorder.
Yes.
Like, let me go on fucking the Silk Roads dark web and cop some lithium real quick. Like,
Please, y'all.
Encourage you to
do not, you know, how WebMD be getting you thinking that you have,
WebMD, you're gonna die. I think that's the main page of WebMD. Death awaits you, bitch. It's like, damn.
That I knew paper eventually, cut you got,
but like
that paper cut you got, it's the
you
end,
have gangrene,
bro.
Motherfucker.
That's it. And that is what will happen. Yes, I know you probably could hear this and you're like, well, I woke up today and I felt super productive. No, please go to a healthcare professional.
Yeah,
please.
Yeah, for sure.
Because
for sure.
You could be.
We are not mental health professionals. And though Akua is, she is not your mental health professional. So, all right. So we're going to go into Fuck Me Now, which is a segment where we talk about our sex, love, and dating lives. And in line with the theme of this episode, Rebecca's going to talk a little bit about her sex and love and dating life with bipolar disorder. And we've got a drop for it. So I'm going to play it. This always reminds me of like a hazy night out.
Yeah, I feel like my hand is out the window in the car, and I'm just like, yeah.
Exactly. So that is why it's the Fuck Me song. Shout out to the homies for making this. They are linked in the show notes for this episode.
Yes.
And before we start the segment, we're going to give a quick content warning for a discussion around suicidal ideation. All right, go for it. Let us know.
I hope y'all are not tired of hearing my voice right now. But yeah, I'm back. Hey. So for me, I'm looking back on it and I realize that I have always been told that I am quote unquote high and cold. That's just something that I've always been told. But I was never honest with, I think there's a way, like bipolar disorder is not something that you look at and you say, well, I'm going through this and this is why I am the way that I am. It is very much the way that you feel and it's very real to you. When you're high and you're up on this manic, I'm confident anything that I'm thinking right now is the right thing. It's real. It's like, it's the same way that you feel happiness. It's pure. It's like, I would feel like I want to be so into this person that I'm in their skin and I love them. And like, it could be somebody that I just met and it could be somebody that I just like, I vibe with and I'm like, this is the one. And I'm thinking like, yeah, this is our future and all type of stuff. And then I wake up and I'm not feeling it. And it turns into, I would rather you never come around me ever again. And it is that extreme. It's not, and it's easier when it's someone you don't know, because at the end of the day, if it ends, it ends. But with my friends and my family and my relationships, I have seen the effect that I have on people, and I've not acknowledged it until now, how I've almost lost my relationship with my sisters, because I would be like, yeah, I'm definitely going to hang out with you on Saturday. And Saturday would come and it would just happen where sometimes I do go through with it and we have a great time, or sometimes I don't go through with it and you're calling me on the Saturday and I don't have it in me to even answer the phone because I'm scared. My anxiety is flared up. I think about all the ways that this conversation can go wrong. So I watch the phone ring and it's Saturday and you're waiting for me and I'm not there, you know? And that's something where I didn't even realize how far it had gotten until I looked back and I was like, yeah, that was a moment where I was scared. There was a moment where I was sad. There was a moment where if I had just picked up the phone, and now I'm so much more willing to own up to who I am after. And I always say being on this show has changed so much for me, because of the validation, the affirmation and the research and the conversations that I have. And this is another episode where it's just like affirming that it's okay to say to someone, hey, like, I thought I could do it. I thought this was the Saturday for it, but I can't even leave my house. I have moments where I'm agoraphobic, where the idea of being in a crowd or the idea of stepping outside of my home is so frightening to me that I will not do it. And I don't do it. And, you know, I lost my job with JetBlue, not because I got fired. I quit before I did get fired because there were days where I would get a call. And I was on I remember the longest episode that I've ever had for depressive was almost a year, like where I was just every day drinking and every day just feeling so hopeless. And that was a time where I almost killed myself. Like, definitely I had reached a point where I was saving pills. And I was like, you know, every time anything had happened to me or if I would find some, I would save it into this big bottle. And I was ready. I was ready. And this was actually 2018. I remember just like, I'm done with it. And then one day I was fine. And it felt like, well, what was that? Well, who was that? You know what I mean? And I think if I had been honest a lot sooner with myself and other people, maybe it wouldn't have gotten to that point, but I don't know, you know? I just think that I'm fortunate that I have a lot of people in my life that are patient, and that I think I figured it out soon enough that I could own up to it. And I think a huge part of why I wanted to get help, besides like my family just going like, I don't know who you are, is also the partner that I have. And I will always give Chris his flowers, because I've had relationships before where people didn't want to take the time to figure out what was wrong with me. It was just because I didn't even know what was wrong with me. It's more like, well, you know, you love me one day and then you don't. So fuck you when you don't. You know what I mean? And I get that. as a person on the outside looking in, if you are certain that someone is feeling you and then one day they give you this energy that as if they would rather you not exist, I can get how that's just like, well, fuck you then. I don't want to hang out with you. As opposed to like, now I have somebody who I genuinely feel like is fighting, was fighting to understand so much that it forced me to stop and say, okay, well, if this person is just like trying to figure out what's wrong, what is going on? Why am I like this? And in living with someone, I was unable to hide. I was unable to say, well, I'll see you next week, which was like, you know, we used to hang out. I used to do that with my ex where, you know, I just wasn't feeling it. I was like, I'll see you next week. And I just could do that as opposed to now there is no seeing you next week. You wake up and you go to sleep and this person is here. And the moments that you don't want them around, they feel it. But, you know, they can't really go anywhere and you can't really go anywhere. So it forced me to buckle down and really think, well, think about all the times that you've really almost lost someone. Do you want to lose another person? Do you want to lose? I almost lost my sister in terms of just her just not being patient anymore. A lot of people. So do I want to lose another person? I didn't want to lose myself or another person. So that's what happened. And for me, sex was such an important part of who I am because it's how I express myself. And it's how I feel close to people. So in that relationship where I was no longer feeling up to sex, I think that that's how I really kind of hooked that person into being with me. So when they didn't have that, they no longer knew how I felt. I no longer was expressing any type of desire. And that caused a wedge in our relationship that was so deep that it was almost incurable. I mean, granted, fuck that guy anyway. So it didn't turn out well. But there's a lot of things that I learned. And I know that it was definitely because of how deeply I was feeling up and how deeply I was feeling down. And I can make you feel like you're the only person in the world. And then the other time I can make you feel like the worst person in the world. And I do that to myself and I do that to the people that I love when it feels genuine. And I am learning that I exist outside the confines of my mind. So the people things perceive that me. I do, yes, people perceive the fuck out of me. And the things that I do really do have this effect. But it is good to, I do feel good, which is weird. I feel good and not good because I'm always good, but more good because I know who I am and I know that I can take control and I know that I can be better. And I'm not always going to, I think that's the hardest part for me is I always felt like I had to be perfect. And if the perfection wasn't there, I had to hide it. And now I can say I'm not perfect. I don't want to be perfect. And I never will be, but to say the people that really care about me or say they care about me, because again, hard to process. I can tell them like, hey, today's a tough day for me. Like, you know, and own that and know that they will not leave me. And if they do, then they're not the people for me. Mm. You know, if you're leaving me because I'm telling you that I'm nervous or because I'm telling you that the idea of walking outside my home is frightening, then I don't really know that you need to be a part of my life anyway, because this is a part of who I am. And you don't have to be patient for it. But if you are, I promise you then the good times, they're going to roll, man. I'm a good person. So, you know.
Can vouch.
Thank you. Still, yes, I'm trying. Sam doesn't lie, yo. So it's just if she says it, then it is what it is.
you wouldn't be on the show, Rebecca.
It would be on the show, or it would have been that moment right afterwards. She'd just be like, yeah, man, I mean, whatever you say. And I would have felt it. So
can I do a quick insert in something that you said? Absolutely. I want to like you and not everybody listens to every episode of a podcast or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like when you were like, fuck that guy anyways, it did not turn out well. Like, this is not like Rodeca, like not holding space for someone who like wasn't able to understand like being in a relationship with someone before they knew that they were bipolar. Like, he cheated and lied and was like an actual person. Yeah. Like, that is why it's like, fuck that. Like,
it's definitely not, oh, well, you should have dealt with my ebb and flows. And if you don't, because like, and that's actually me owning up to the fact that,
like, yeah, you have other exes who you're like,
you don't have,
well, particularly one
that I was like that with.
No, I'm saying you like particularly have another ex who you're not like, oh, fuck that guy anyways, just because it ended. Yeah. Like, it's literally like, fuck this nigga season because he was a bad person.
Yes. Specifically for that. Like, I have another ex who recognized these ebbs and flows and like if they had left me in the under that circumstance, I would say, you know what? It's your life. You don't have to. I can't even explain what's wrong with me or what I'm going through or why I feel the way I do. Why would I expect you to? I'm a very reasonable person. Yes, I'm glad you said that. It's because that specific person did some fucked up shit to me outside of this. Yeah. For whatever reason, and I have a moment where I blamed this on that, and that's what pushed me away, them away from me. Sure, still could have left. So regardless, yeah, fuck that person. But yeah, not just fuck all my exes because I do actually really like that person still. But yes, I guess just like a closing thought or like future stuff is just like, I am gonna work on being me and owning both parts and both Rebecca's, as I like to say.
It's Rebecca and Rebecca.
Yes, Rebecca.
Exactly. I knew all along that you had.
You knew. You. This is future sight right here. Sam has always had a name for these two people. And it's just like no longer shunning the depressive times and being ashamed of the fact that like sometimes I don't feel good. Sometimes I don't feel good at all. And saying to people who care about me, I don't feel good today. I don't want to let people down, but at the same time, I'm letting people down inadvertently by lying or like by hiding this. When everyone's just been so fucking understanding, and it's so strange to me because I still have that I'm a burden mindset, and it's such a hard thing, but it makes me feel so loved. And that's why, you know, I love you guys. I love you, Sam. I don't like to say it. It makes me feel
I'm gonna fucking cry.
Turn off my camera.
But
don't pursue
But in
me.
That support, I'm trying, you know, but in that support, and it's I could cry right now. It's been a long road, and it's nice to be on the other side and feel like I can be myself.
Great things lie ahead, fam. I'm really proud of you. Like, deadass.
thank you, this was such
a good episode.
I hope y'all enjoy this vulnerability because it's tough, but not enjoy, but I'm glad that, you know, I have people who care, people who are listening, people who I love all of you guys. And
the fact that 30 people reached out, like,
I'm insane.
Stunned and in awe, and I'm like very appreciative of Inner Ho Uprising listenership and fandom. Like, you really do hold us the fuck down whenever anybody, like, I don't watch these niggas' Instagram stories. I don't watch anybody's. I watch like four people's Instagram stories and then I cut it off because no Instagram, no Facebook. But yeah, like whenever you talk about, like, sometimes Rob is like, oh, I was going through something and such reached out to me and blah, blah, blah. Like, you are very supportive and graceful listener base. And we really, 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 really appreciate that about all of you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. I can't thank y'all enough. And that's why I'm here, you know, talking about me in ways that I never thought that I would be capable of doing because of how close I feel to everybody who listens to the show and how close I hope you guys feel with me because it's just me raw and the truth. And I hope that, you know, we can continue to have these conversations and we will. We will. So there you go.
That's a fact. That's a fact. Great job, Rebecca.
Yeah. Thank you.
We hope that you all have enjoyed another episode of the Inner Ho Uprising podcast. If this episode made you laugh, I guess there were some funny moments.
Yeah.
So sure. If this episode made you laugh, helped you learn something, made you feel good, made you question yourself in a good way, or positively moved you in any sense, please leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts and or Stitcher. And let everyone you know that you love these hoes because we really, truly appreciate all of you.
Yes. And if you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at Inner Ho Uprising without the G on Twitter, Inner Ho Uprising on Instagram and Facebook. You can join our Facebook group by searching Inner Ho Uprising, CUMMUNITY. Head over to innerhouprising.com to pay a ho. And you can follow me at The Darkest Timeline on Instagram. I also have a Finsta now. My Finsta, I actually talk about in depth. Yes, I do. It's Fat Black Snack, which I just love that name. So I was
am I allowed to follow? Why did you make this?
Absolutely. I made it because I
who are you hiding like from is my question.
I'm my family. Oh, okay. I have a lot of like cousins and shit on my regular Instagram.
I just let my cousin see my ass, but I
that's what I should do. But I was like, you know, also I don't know if people want to like. I talked about actually the diagnosis on my regular Instagram, but then I was just like how I was actually feeling underneath photos and like photo dumping and stuff like that. I didn't necessarily want to do that on my main. So obviously it's not a secret because I'm also doing it on the podcast. So yes, you can follow me on Fab Black Snack. Just don't be my cousin because I will not add you. It's private.
Just don't be my cousin. Yourself to me if you got busy.
Yeah, and if you listen to the podcast, I assume you fuck with me because there's a lot of people who are on my main Instagram who I'm like, do you
Rodeca,
like me
aka Miley, what's good?
Yeah, Miley was good. That's a
Nicki Minaj moment.
Yes. I don't know why I did that. Sometimes things come out of my head and I just do it. So that's what it is. So yeah,
follow
that's
has occurred there.
Yes, and I see it right here on my phone. I'm gonna add Sam, and I will add you if you're a listener on my Finsta, and if you want to know more.
It's a great name. I'm surprised you got it. I'm surprised nobody took that.
Why not? I they should have been taking it. But I'll take it myself. Really? Yeah.
Cool.
So yeah.
Dope.
And my pronouns are she and her.
Dope. My pronouns are also she and her. My Instagram is SlamRid. My Twitter is SlamRid. And my Clubhouse is SlamRid. I don't have a Finsta, but maybe I should start.
Nah, man. Be bold on your main, yo. I don't got it, but, you know, hey.
Okay. All right. Well, have a great week because you motherfucking deserve to. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.